Thanks a lot and good afternoon. So I'm coming from the Lehrstuhl für Bodenkunde in Germany, in Munich. And now I'm presenting something about imaging with near spectroscopy. And I made it short, so I called it IM with IR. So in German it's im Visier. But so in German it has a meaning, but okay. We already heard that we know that soils are heterogeneous and we are still sampling as if horizons are homogeneous. So we are still going out in the field, we are identifying diagnostic horizons, and then we are taking samples, but we think, okay, the horizon is homogeneous, but everyone knows it's not. So that's a pot soil from Germany, from the southeastern part. And together with a friend who is working in remote sensing, we thought about a technique to get rid or to overcome these limitations of heterogeneous horizons. And so he's working in remote sensing and he's using airborne imaging spectroscopy. And to explain it, what it is, I think everyone knows that the VIS NIR spectrum, so what we are generally generating, if we have a spectrometer and we take a bulk sample, we homogenize it and we take a spectrum. So that's from 400 to 1,000 nanometers, so yeah, visible light and near infrared. Airborne imaging spectroscopy now means we have a detector that is mounted on a drone or UAV or on a plane, and it's flying above the Earth and it's taking pictures. And the picture consists of pixels, and each pixel has a complete spectrum. So for each of the pixels that you see, we have a complete spectrum. So now we want to use this camera, a hyperspectral camera, but we had to get the soil profile to the camera. So first we started with to build a stainless steel box, the dimensions of 30 by 10 and 10 centimeters. This is vertically hammered into the soil, then I dig it out and I take it to the lab. The hyperspectral camera that is used on the plane is looking like this. So the black body in the center, that's the camera, and it's recording 416 spectral bands from 400 to 2500 nanometers. And if we use it in the lab, we have a spatial resolution of 63 by 63 micrometers. So each pixel is quite small in the size of a silt particle. And with our box, so 30 centimeters long and 10 centimeters wide, we are producing 7.7 million spectra per sample. And so one image of these soil cores is around 2.2 gigabyte. And then we are using multivariate statistics and image processing to analyze the data. So once more, so there's the box with the soil profile inside, and the black body is the scanner again, so it's moved on the translation stage and we are generating an image of the soil profile. Then I've selected spots with a representative or homogeneous areas and sampled them. They were dried and analyzed in the lab for chemical properties like carbon content, nitrogen content, iron, aluminium, manganese. Then I smoothened the surface again, removed the first centimeter and took the next image. So in total, we took 7 images from this soil profile, from this whole volume. And then, yeah, the work started more or less. So once more, so you have these 7.7 million pixels and each has the spectrum on its own. Okay, so the first study site where we want to just working or not, that's in southeastern Germany, close to Munich. It's a loess soil, it's a Norway spruce monoculture, and we have stachnicluvisol, or in soil taxonomy it's an endoaqualve, so reducing and oxidizing conditions. And then we started with some more simple things, so we started with geostatistics, so we took the whole data set and analyze it with semivariograms, and what you see on the left side is the normal image, and on the right side you see that's the spatial variability. Now shown is just the SIL value, so more or less a measure for how different is each pixel compared to its surrounding. So the darker the color, so the more blue, then the pixel is very comparable, so the spectrum of each pixel is very comparable to its surrounding, and the more it's getting red, the more different it is. That means with the geostatistics, that's a quite nice tool to identify hotspots. So in this case, the red spots are the particulate organic matter or the soil organic matter, so dead roots and some leaves. But if you also want to sample a very representative part, you go for the dark areas. So if you have the dark areas, then these regions are very homogeneous. So if you want to have a mean value for horizon, you can go to the dark spots. So then it was getting a little bit more complicated. So we did a supervised classification. So I selected training areas in the image and told the computer, so that's an AH horizon, that's a B horizon, that's a stone, that's a root. And then the algorithm classified the whole image. And what you get is a map of the soil, so soil classification map. And the nice thing is that you can extract the area of the horizon. So you get square centimeters for the AH horizon, for how much POM is particulate organic matter is inside, how much is reduced, how much is oxidized, and everything with a resolution of 63 micrometers. In the third step, we took the samples that I've taken out that were analyzed for carbon, nitrogen, aluminium, iron, and manganese, and used multivariate regression analysis to produce elemental maps. So for the whole, for each of the images, of the seven images, we now got a map of carbon, nitrogen, aluminium, iron, and manganese. And the accuracy was quite high, so everything was above 0.8 R-squared. In the second approach, so the first one was a mineral soil, in the second approach we thought, okay, maybe let's test if it's working with an organic soil. And for this we went to the European Alps, to Berchtesgaden, that's also close to Munich. There we have a limestone and again Norway spruce, and the soil is a histosol or a UD forest. And we took again one of these profiles, and it's purely organic matter, that's just 30 centimeters organic matter. And I took samples again. These were analyzed for carbon, nitrogen, and the chemical composition was analyzed with NMR spectroscopy. And then I started to analyze it again with multivariate statistics and image processing. And so the first step was principal component analysis. And then I did an unsupervised classification. So I told the computer, please sort all pixels based on the spectra. And in the end, we had three classes that remained. So all pixels were grouped to three classes. And if we go in more detail, so this is in the center left part. Three classes. One, these are the living roots. So we can identify living roots and undecomposed organic matter. A second class, this is the particulate organic matter. It has a high lignin content, so we are in purely organic soil under Norway spruce. So you maybe see some bark and some cones and the debris of it. And these are the red-colored parts. To prove that it's aromatic, on the left side, that's the result or the correlation between the measurements we've done with the NMR spectroscopy. So we get a reading for the aromatic carbon content. And this is correlated to the group 2, so this group that we just produced by image processing. And the third group that we identified was the amorphous organic matter, so the highly decomposed organic material in the background. So that's the classification result. And in the third approach, we thought maybe we can also do this quantitatively. So it's possible to separate different soil organic matter fractions based on their chemical composition. But is it also possible to do this quantitatively? And for this, we went to China, Xilinhop, that's in the northeastern part of China. There we have again a loess soil. The vegetation is the short grass steppe. And we have a calcic chernozem or a haplostol. And then this is work in progress. So a master student did a classical physical fractionation. That means we have sampled the soil profile with a small rectangle, so 5 by 5 centimeters. And we scratched the material, so 5 millimeters thick, and this was fractionated. So we separated particulate organic matter and mineral-associated organic matter. And here you see the result. So in the top, we have a lot of particulate organic matter, so debris, litter, and roots of the plant, and then it's getting less the more we go down in the soil profile. And then we try to compare this to the image processing approach. So is it possible to derive the same numbers also from the images? So we separated the image again in these squares. And we see that the R-square is already quite good. So it's possible to quantitatively map particulate organic matter. Yeah, and that was more or less everything. So what we can do is for mineral soils, for the endoaquifers, we could identify hotspots. We could do a soil classification, so we can quantify the amount of AH horizon and B horizon and so on. And the third one was to do quantitative elemental mapping. For the organic soil, we could map soil organic matter quality. And in the third approach, it was also possible to do this quantitatively. So we could quantitatively map soil organic matter quality. Yeah, thank you very much. And I have to thank especially DAAD because they financed this trip that I'm here.
Questions? You're a quiet group today. Is it so cold that everybody is just frozen into no questions? So you took this approach to China.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step? Where do you go from here?
We are now we return to Germany again,
yeah.
And we are back to the to this reducing and so the stacking glubizol, and now we are comparing different tree species, and if we see different reducing and oxidizing conditions, and if we can quantify the amount of iron that is translocated in the soil profiles. That's the first approach to do it quantitatively with the elemental things.
Okay. That'll be interesting. Thank you very much.